from West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Support for the legislature today is provided by the following.
AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State. Online at aarp.org/WV. The West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission, working to double the degrees produced annually in our state by 2025. Through increased opportunities for West Virginians to earn the credentials today's economy demands. The High Technology Foundation, building a stronger West Virginia. Online at wvhtf.org.
At the legislature today, senators approve a bill to allow Uber to operate in West Virginia while amending another to generate more funding for roads. In the House, substance abuse takes the spotlight as delegates approve several bills to tackle the issue. And the minority leaders of both chambers join us to discuss the most pressing issues facing lawmakers in the final days of this legislative session. Those stories coming up tonight on the legislature today. Good evening, I'm Ashton Mara. Members of both chambers are quickly approaching an important deadline in this legislative session. Tomorrow is crossover day, or the final day a bill can be approved in its originating chamber. But beyond tomorrow's deadline, there are just 11 days left in this session. Senate Minority Leader Jeff Kessler sat down with us this morning to discuss some of the biggest issues facing lawmakers before that final night. Senator, we want to thank you, first of all, for taking the time to speak with us today.
Happy to be here.
So let's start with a bill that you all took up on the floor yesterday evening. This bill came out of the Finance Committee and would reduce the state's coal severance tax to 3% over the next two bills. You weren't really satisfied with that bill.
No, and for a couple of reasons. The lateness of the hour, it was, we've been here all the way through crossover day, and yet we come to the very last committee meeting on the last day that a bill can get out and out on the floor, and for the first time we have a significant policy decision of reducing the state's coal severance tax from 5% to 3% that doesn't even take effect until 2018 or 2019. So it's a lot of show but no substance, quite frankly. I asked for a fiscal note, what would be the cost of it, how much money would be savings, how many jobs would be preserved or created. No one had an answer for anything. So it's a feel-good bill maybe, but it doesn't do a darn thing, and it does hamstring or hogtie future legislatures on reduction and a tax reduction that may or may not be viable 2 years from now.
There was a similar measure. It was a financial measure that was taken up in the House yesterday evening as well, and that would have broadened the base of the state's sales tax by rolling out some, by closing some loopholes, basically, looking to put fees on legal services and accounting services, and then, but...
The First Amendment, the press. I mean, my goodness, they want to tax the First Amendment, freedom of the press. I mean, my goodness. I mean, come on, guys. There's got to be a better way.
Yeah, there have been some members of the press who've spoken out to say that these are putting taxes on business-to-business transactions.
We're giving tax breaks to coal companies and oil and gas companies, and we're going to tax the First Amendment, of the right of the public to know what's going on by the press. We're going to tax newspapers and media folks that inform the public. I think it's a horrible, horrible, horrible legislation.
Well, to play devil's advocate, I think the majority is obviously concerned about the budget. Over the 2016 and 2017 budget years, we're looking at almost $1 billion in revenue shortfalls.
Sure.
That have to be made up somewhere. What do you suggest we do before the end of this session?
Well, you have to raise some revenue. You know, there's certain things we need to raise. We've already passed a cigarette tax, even greater than what the governor wanted. I've got a bill out there that would do some beer and alcohol tax that haven't been raised in 30 years as well. You know, they're going to see something, I think, on the floor today concerning roads. There's been such a small swipe. Everyone coming into the session, we need to fix our roads. Well, what we've done is we passed a bill out that's coming up that will generate an additional 3 cents on the gas tax only when the price is under $2, but that will only bring in $30 million. You know, we need at least $400 million a year in maintenance to keep our roads operating. And it does not even bring us back to the revenue loss we're having by the wholesale price index formula that they use, that by virtue of the fact that the taxes or the price of gas is so low now, the state automatically is going to lose about $40 million. So we're filling it with 30, and we're not even getting us all the way to where we need to be to stay even. So it's not enough. So I think you're going to see something out on the floor today that would be a responsible plan advanced by the Democrats to actually fix our roads.
Is it too late? Is it too late in the session to do anything about roads?
Well, no, I don't think it's never too late, but I will say this, you know, that at least that bill's some of these bills with fixing the roads that we've proposed have been out there for a while. They have not been moved, but I think maybe the new majority is starting to hit panic mode now that they're starting to see reality set in, that we're almost ready to leave town and they don't have a budget that'll work without cutting vital services to children, to juvenile delinquency, to homes, to education. You know, cut, 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 cut. We've been down here wasting our time on divisive issues like, you know, RFRA and religious freedom and speaking English and all these other nonsensical things that quite frankly aren't necessary, aren't needed. No one can give me one concrete example why we need these bills. And we spent all this floor time fighting over stuff that doesn't make create one job, fix one pothole, or improve the standard of living, or provide any education for our children. Those are the things we need to be focusing on. It's been an extremely disappointing session.
Well, I want to ask you about one of those bills in particular, and that's what's now become the Religious Freedom Protection Act. That will be up for a vote in the chamber tomorrow. The Senate Judiciary Committee made some changes to the bill, including adding a provision that says the intent of this bill by the legislature is not to discriminate. Are the changes enough for you?
No. No, again, it's still unnecessary. No one has yet to give me one concrete example why this bill is necessary. Where has any religious sect in this state or religious congregation been discriminated against by government saying you must perform some type of ceremony or not perform some ceremony in the sanctity of your own religious church or congregation? There are none. So again, it's just wrapping yourselves in the Bible while you're trying to use it to beat up folks that are different. It sends an absolute horrible message. In fact, I got a copy of a letter Senator Carmichael shared with me yesterday from the chamber that they have grave concerns now about the bill without because it's bad for business. You know, the people, the young people in this state, if you go and ask them if they care about, you know, sexual orientation or different religions or interracial marriages, these folks don't care about, you know, it's not a big issue. They want a diverse, open, welcoming society where they are judged and performed in the workplace by the job they do, not by who they love at night or who they care for or what church they go to. All the Fortune 500 companies that are expanding and growing have these kind of open, welcoming policies. West Virginia, we still want to be backwoods hillbillies. People get mad because having negative stereotypes. Well, then quit acting like backwoods hillbillies, and maybe folks will quit thinking about us that way.
Well, Senate Minority Leader Jeff Kessler, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Senators approved a bill unanimously today that would allow ride-sharing companies like Lyft and Uber to operate in West Virginia. The bill will need one more vote in the House before heading to the governor's desk. As Senator Kessler mentioned, members also looked at ways to increase funding for the road system those drivers will utilize. Senate Bill 555 sets a trigger in state code to increase the gasoline tax when prices fall below $2 a gallon. The bill, however, was amended today, and if approved, could mean hundreds of millions of dollars in more infrastructure funding. How much more would you be willing to pay per day to ensure that the roads you drive on are pothole-free, that the bridges you drive across are structurally sound? How much? $1, $5, $50? Senator Bob Plymouth from Wayne County is asking for 9 cents. He says just 9 cents per day in increased taxes and fees from each West Virginian could generate nearly $300 million of additional funding for roadways.
And I think this is a small price for people to pay when we're talking about moving our economy along.
Plymouth's amendment would increase division of motor vehicle fees and the personal property tax on purchasing a vehicle to generate the extra funds. Both increases came as recommendations from a commission appointed by Governor Tomlin. That commission found the state would need an additional $2 billion per year in funding to maintain and expand the state's highway system. Plymouth says that number is out of reach for West Virginia right now, but the $315 million raised through his amendments are not.
Sometimes it takes hard choices here, and it sometimes takes tough times for us to finally get to where we need. We have to do something for our roads.
That something, raising revenues, is a move Senator Bob Williams says his constituents can agree to.
It's not often that we receive emails from back home and folks who say that they're willing to have their taxes raised. But on this issue of roads, I've received numerous emails for folks who want their roads fixed and understand that in order to fix their roads, we have to raise some revenue.
Republican Senator Ed Gonch proposed a bill this session that encompassed Plimal's amendments, but the proposal did not make its way through the committee process in time for a vote in the chamber. Gonch says the amendment sends a bold, bipartisan message to both the House and the people of West Virginia.
I wish I could stand here and rise to support a roads bill that was paid for by revenue already generated. Unfortunately, I can't do that. We all know the condition of our highways. We hear it every day from our constituents. This bill, as amended, would be more, though, than just a highway bill. It's also a jobs bill. I brought this little thing with me. It is more than just a roads bill.
The amendment was accepted on a voice vote in the chamber without opposition.
Those opposed, no.
The bill will be up for a final vote in the Senate tomorrow. Members of the Senate also discussed the controversial Religious Freedom Protection Act today. Senator Corey Palumbo attempted to amend the bill on the floor, adding protections for municipalities that pass non-discrimination ordinances. That amendment was accepted, and the bill will be up for a final vote tomorrow. Members of the House have killed a bill that would have gotten rid of exemptions for professional services under the state's sales tax. The bill attempted to broaden the tax base while lowering the overall rate for consumers, but it died overwhelmingly yesterday. In an interview this morning, House Minority Leader Tim Miley explained his opposition to the bill. So, Delegate, thank you so much for your time today.
Sure. Thank you for being here.
So we want to start with a bill that was killed on the House floor essentially yesterday, and that was a bill to broaden the state's sales tax base by including some exemptions for professional services. So under this bill, lawyer's fees would have been included in a sales tax. Accounting fees would have been included in a sales tax, and that would have brought the overall sales tax rate down from 6% to 5.5%. You were the first person to move to kill that bill on the floor. Why did you feel that way?
Well, Ashton, there was mounting opposition by the hour, it seemed, to that bill. And not just opposition to the substance of the bill, but to the manner in which the bill was handled when it was in committee. If you're going to roll out a massive tax increase bill, which is what that did because it removed tax exemptions, which in turn raises tax revenue, then that needs to be vetted with all of the affected groups and vetted with the appropriate governmental agencies to know how that would have been implemented. And quite frankly, it also would have desensitized people to what was going to occur. Instead, they waited till the 11th hour with no discussion having been taken place with any interested groups, and they struck out the portions of a completely different bill, rolled these provisions into it, and passed it out at the 11th hour, almost under the color of darkness, so to speak, because no one was there to even address any questions that were raised. And so because of that, many in the business community felt that it was going to be harmful to consumers and harmful to small businesses. Because just to be clear, these groups that were opposed to that bill weren't opposed to it because they would have to pay more taxes. They were opposed to it because it was just a pass-through tax to the consumer. And so it was not going to cost them any more money, but it was going to cost consumers and potential small businesses more money. And so opposition was growing. It wasn't vetted thoroughly. And so we came out against it. We moved to table the bill to try and kill it. I was a little surprised that we all couldn't get on board when I made my motion. But after a couple of hours, I think even the majority party began to realize the number of groups that were opposed to the bill and decided to kill the bill themselves.
And in the end, it was a large vote to table the bill, an overwhelming majority, 92, I think.
It was an overwhelming bipartisan vote to kill the bill. Even when I made my motion to kill the bill, it had bipartisan support, just not enough, because we only have 36 Democrats. But I think there were 10 Republicans who joined us in my motion, because they realized that it wasn't the wise thing to do to try to pass that bill at this point in the session. This is a bill, Ashton, that should have been discussed for many hours during the course of this legislative session, not just for an hour or two on the last day that you can pass bills. And that was problematic. I don't know that as many people are opposed to removing these exemptions as much as they are the manner in which this tax bill was rolled out.
So there's another tax increase that's located in the House right now. It was a Senate bill that includes a $1 increase per pack of cigarettes. It's basically a tobacco tax increase to help balance the general revenue budget. At the very beginning of the session, when you were on our show, you said you supported a $1 increase. Initially, the governor said just 45 cents. How do you see this bill now? Does it have a chance in the House?
Well, in light of that tax bill that we just discussed not passing, I think it has a greater chance, though it's hard for me to assess the level of support for that $1 per pack tobacco tax bill that exists in the Republican caucus. Because there's 64 of them, they can pass whatever they want or kill whatever they want by sheer numbers. But our caucus, the Democrats, and me personally, have always been supportive of the dollar per pack tobacco tax increase for two reasons. One, we feel like when you raise the tax at a significant level, then it will result in decreased number of smokers, which in turn will result in decreased smoking-related illnesses, which in turn will result in decreased healthcare expenses related to treating those smoking-related illnesses. So it has tremendous health benefits on the citizens of our state, which is an otherwise unhealthy state, as you know. Secondly, and perhaps equally important, would be the revenue that would be generated from this additional tax can be dedicated solely to shoring up the PEIA shortfall that so many West Virginians rely on. There are over 220,000 West Virginians that rely on the PEIA benefits. Now, granted, it's a very generous health insurance program, no doubt about that, but we're talking about teachers, state troopers, public employees who generally don't make a whole lot of money. And in exchange for the lower salaries and compensation packages, they were promised years ago healthy benefits such as health insurance. And so we feel like we have to honor that promise, and there's a mechanism to do it. The Senate, in a bipartisan vote, felt that was a way to go to shoring up the PEIA shortfall as well as helping curb the tobacco use in our state.
So a week from Saturday is the final day of this legislative session. You all have a lot of work to do in those last couple days. But what do you feel is absolutely necessary to get approved by both bodies before the end of this session?
Well, following up with the tobacco tax, I think we have to pass a tobacco tax that's significant enough to decrease the smoking in the state and shore up PEIA. That's our number one priority. Secondly, I really do believe we have to do something to address our infrastructure needs, mainly our roads. But that also includes the high-speed internet as well. But nothing thus far has been done on a statewide level to help our road situation, which is crumbling as we speak. Now, we have passed a bill in the House that allows counties to take it upon themselves, if there is a vote by the citizens, to raise taxes locally to help themselves locally. But that won't able to be done by the more rural, less populated, more poorer counties. So we still need to do something at our level to fund infrastructure in our state, and I don't see that moving. But there are some bills that if they move fairly quickly, we can get passed and fund our roads and the construction projects that go along with that, which in turn creates jobs.
House Minority Leader Tim Miley, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Ashton.
Members of the House have approved a bill that would end the state funding used to update casino games. Proposed on behalf of Governor Tomlin, House Bill 4271 would end the Licensed Racetrack Modernization Fund 4 years earlier than it was set to expire, putting $9 million a year back into the budget. Some delegates expressed concerns on the floor that without the fund, the state's four racetrack casinos won't be able to stay competitive with out-of-state businesses. But the bill passed on a 62-37 vote today. It now heads to the Senate. Delegates also took up several bills meant to combat substance abuse in West Virginia. The GOP majority has said they will work to do two things in the area: increase access to treatment while also increasing penalties for drug dealers. As Liz McCormick reports, a mix of those bills were up for a vote in the chamber today.
House Bill 4176 would allow for inmates in regional jails suffering addiction to opioids to receive medical treatment with the drug Vivitrol, coupled with counseling. Vivitrol is an injection that blocks the effects of drugs like heroin or prescription painkillers for 30 days and also helps fight the cravings for those drugs. Delegate Chris Stansberry is a Republican from Kanawha County. Last year, he championed a similar bill that allowed the same kind of treatment in state drug courts. He says by expanding this pilot program, more people can get help to fight an addiction.
If they do not have that address before they're released, they're much more likely to recidivate. They'll go out, they'll get back in drugs, and they'll get back into whatever crime that may be to support that habit, or get picked up for, you know, possession or whatever it may be, and they'll end up right back in our facilities again. So it really behooves us to help those people now while they're incarcerated, give them an opportunity to get clean and stay clean on the outside and become productive members of society again.
House Bill 4176, however, didn't receive full support from the chamber, though. It received one no vote from Delegate Mike Pushkin, a Democrat from Kanawha County. He stood to speak against the bill.
I'm not going to question the intent of this. I know we all want to do something about the drug problem, but in my personal opinion, a lot of these pharmaceutical companies are the ones that help bring this problem on, and I don't want to turn to them to get us out of it. I don't think it's a pharmaceutical solution. I don't believe it's a medical solution. There's a spiritual solution to it that is not being addressed in any of these drug bills we're looking at today.
The bill passed 97-1. House Bill 4183 requires emergency medical service agencies and emergency medical service providers to report non-lethal opioid overdoses to the Board of Pharmacy. The bill also requires the report be added to the West Virginia Controlled Substance Monitoring Program. The bill passed 96-2. House Bill 4480 limits the amount over time a physician may prescribe a patient Suboxone, a drug that helps wean people off of opioids. House Health Chairman Joe Ellington.
So it starts out at a 16 milligram dosage, which is the highest dosage that we usually will allow, and it goes over time as far as tapering it down. Some people after 30 days should be tapered off of the 16 down to 12, and then they may be maintained for several years. So what we're trying to do is look at after 5 years, tapers them down to 4 so that they're not staying on high doses. So it's really just going back to the recommendations that are already on the label.
Drugs like Suboxone and methadone have received a bad reputation in the state because addicts often get hooked on the treatments in place of heroin or painkillers. Ellington says this bill will help prevent that. The bill passed 90-10. Members of the House tabled another bill that would have increased the penalty for carrying marijuana from 5 to 15 years. Democratic members argued it was nonsensical to increase penalties related to a drug that's being legalized in many states. The bill was tabled, however, after a Republican delegate fighting cancer testified before the body that a marijuana-laced cookie from Colorado had helped him get through the side effects of a chemo treatment. The bill has now been delayed, but must be voted on Wednesday in order to stay alive this session. For the Legislature Today, I'm Liz McCormick in the House.
Mike Caputo was elected to the West Virginia House of Delegates in 1996. From Marion County, he represents the House's 50th district. Caputo is a Democrat and serves as the Minority Whip. He also serves as the Minority Chair of the House Energy Committee. Linda Longstreth is a Democrat from Marion County. She represents the 50th House of Delegates district. Delegate Longstreth was first elected in 2004. She serves as the Minority Chair of the House Committee on Veterans Affairs. She served as a Staff Sergeant in the U.S. Army Reserve's Medical Corps. Tim Manchin represents the House of Delegates 50th District from Marion County. A Democrat, he was appointed to fill the seat of his uncle, A. James Manchin, in 2003 and was elected to the seat in 2004. Manchin serves as the Minority Chair of the House Judiciary Committee, the committee he previously chaired.
As we mentioned earlier in the show, tomorrow is crossover day at the State House, the final day bills can be voted on in their originating chamber. Senate Majority Leader Mitch Carmichael and House Majority Leader Darrell Coles will tell us what to expect in the final days of the session when they join us on the show tomorrow. That interview at 6:30 and 11:30. This has been the Legislature Today. I'm Ashton Mara. Thanks for joining us.
Support for the Legislature Today is provided by the following.
AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State. Online at aarp.org/WV. The West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission, working to double the degrees produced annually in our state by 2025. Through increased opportunities for West Virginians to earn the credentials today's economy demands. The High Technology Foundation, building a stronger West Virginia, online at wvhtf.org. From West Virginia Public Broadcasting.